Stratus Film Company and Miramax present a Cheyenne Enterprises production. An Equity Pictures Median Funds GmbH and Company KG2 and Hostage GmbN production in association with Syndicate Films International. A film by Florence Siri, Bruce Willis, Hostage. Kevin Pollock, Ben Foster, Jonathan Tucker. Marshall Allman, Michelle Horn, Jimmy Bennett. Tina Lifford, Kim Coates, Serena Scott Thomas, Robert Knepper. Music by Alexandra Desplat. In a scene reminiscent of a graphic novel, armed police surround a house and a sniper gazes through his sight. The sky is a dark blood red. Officers with their weapons at the ready are positioned on some stairs, and a large helicopter hangs in the air above the building. In a small, unassuming house, a man is crouching on the floor, clutching a phone to his ear, and holding a gun in his other hand. Los Angeles. Across the street on a roof, a police team has gathered. A long-haired, bearded man in jeans and a shirt is lying on his back talking on the phone.
I'm gonna shoot my own wife, I'm gonna shoot the boy!
Joe, just relax. Relax, we're looking for your wife's boyfriend and I'm gonna find her,
right? Can you help me? Which one do I shoot first? Do I shoot the whore or do I shoot the horse boy?
No, no, Joe. Nobody wants to hear gunshots in there. You scare us all out here. Now, look, I've been trying to help you all day, all right? You want me to help you? You gotta help me.
You don't know what it's like, man. You do not know what it's like. You do not know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through, man. I think I got the balls.
I know you got the balls, Joe.
No, you don't think I'm gonna do it.
Joe, you got the gun. You can do whatever you want.
The bearded man, Jeff, holds up a board he's written on in response to another shown to him.
I'm not getting to sleep.
I know you're tired, Joe. You've been up all night. Come on. Let me come down here. What do you say?
No! Fuck you!
The first board reads, Sniper 2 has shot, and Jeff's response says, No one dies today. Taking a seat next to a van, Jeff pours water over his neck, and a colleague passes him a cigarette.
You all right? Hate this fucking guy.
Jeff, I'm leaning toward an entry.
We know the boy's in his room. If we move now, we got 100% chance of saving it.
We'll keep her up on the mind?
She's 20% at best.
Jeff, we gotta move on the boy. It's the only choice.
This one's getting away from him.
Shrink wrap. Don't talk like I'm not here.
We've been here for 16 hours.
Fucking
this is our
guy.
Third situation in
all
5 days.
Everybody calm down. We're all tired.
I just steered Joe away from the subject of choice. Choosing
hey,
a representative.
Tell me something I don't fucking know, all right?
Wait.
I hear crying.
The boy's away. We've got to keep the boy in his bedroom.
Shut up, Sean. Shut up.
Jeff makes a call.
Hey, Joe, it's me, Jeff. I'm back on. Listen, let Sean's mom take care of him, all right?
The little shit, you know? Little shit, he's probably hungry because he wakes up and he just...
Let me do you a favor. Find out what Sean likes to eat. Now send it in. Him and his mom can eat in the bedroom while me and you fix this thing. What do you say?
Sean! The cops want to know what you want to eat, so get in here!
The boy's moving from his bedroom.
Get in here.
Our guys put him at 80%. 60. 30.
Hello?
Sean.
Hey, this is Jeff Talley. Son, I need you to move back to your bedroom, okay? Right now.
Mr. Talley?
Yes.
Are you gonna save us?
Yeah, Sean. I'm gonna save you.
Joe whacks the little boy hard with the phone, and Jeff simmers with emotion.
Now I know why he couldn't choose.
It's because God decided everything already. He and the whore are going to go to hell.
John, my... just look, relax. Just relax.
Well, my boy's going to go to heaven. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Joe, listen. Pick it up. How you ringing? Pick it up. It's just ringing. Pick it up, Joe.
Jeff, he's saying something.
Fuck!
Where's your shot?
We lost the shot.
Where do you want it?
Side one, opening two.
I'll put him there.
Oh, my God. At the end of this day, I'm heartily thankful for all the graces I've received. I'm so sorry for all the sins I've committed against you.
Listening through a colleague's earpiece, Jeff makes his way down some steps towards the house. He motions to an armed officer to cover him.
My Heavenly Mother, please take me under your protection. And Saint Joseph, saints of God, please pray for me.
Just come to the window and talk to me. Come on.
Amen.
It's me, Jeff. Just come on. Joe, only God has the right to decide who lives and who dies. And he hasn't decided... Joe! It doesn't have to end now! I know you can hear me! Joe, just come to the window and talk to me! Come on, pray with me! I'll pray with you! Come on! Come on! Just shoot me! Shoot me! Come on, I'm right here! Just come to the window! Come on, I know this prayer! Say, Joseph, dear God! Joe!
Holding onto a barred window, Jeff kicks in the front door, which has furniture piled up behind it. Jeff squeezes in through the gap and stumbles into the house, his gun held out in front of him. Joe is lying still and awkwardly against the wall, blood spattered around him. A woman is curled up nearby.
Fuck.
Sean? Sean?
Medic!
The young boy is on the rug with blood oozing around his mouth. Trembling, Jeff holds the boy's neck as the life drains from him. Devastated, Jeff leans against the wall with tears rolling down his cheeks. Jeff's team come in to find him staring blankly. He looks up at his colleague, who frowns and turns from him. He's left alone with the young boy's body. He looks down at his hands, which are now shaking and dripping with dark blood. One year later, Jeff's washing his hands in a bathroom sink. His face and head are clean shaven.
Because it's not fair. My life sucks since Dad moved up here.
We've all had to make adjustments. It's just as hard on your phone.
Oh, bullshit, Mom. You love it here. Things Bristol Camino tonight.
You talk about-
He puts on a grey police shirt and buttons it up.
Don't swear and keep your voice down.
What about me?
Bathroom's free.
Why don't you guys just get divorced? Breezy, come on.
Amanda leaves with the dog. Jeff reaches down to a suitcase by the bathroom door.
It's okay. I'm not finished with it yet.
While his wife, Jane, continues to pack, Jeff goes into the kitchen.
Sorry for all the shouting.
Well, she had to get me to hear her somehow, didn't she?
This is getting really, really hard, you know? I just wish you would talk to me.
How am I not talking to you? I'm talking to you right now.
It would be nice to know what you're thinking.
I'm thinking that I'm a half hour late for work.
Well, at least explain again to your daughter why you took this job.
Jeff grabs his jacket and kisses her on the head. She frowns as he touches her. He takes a seat next to Amanda under a tree. He pulls off her headphones.
I don't know what pisses you off more. Me or my tater tot casserole. Amanda. Amanda. Amanda.
Three youths in a pickup truck stop at a red light.
This yours?
Dennis.
One of them throws the CD out of the window, then sees Jeff behind them in a police car.
Hey, it's like a $200 ticket.
Shut up.
You got $200?
Huh? Shut up, Dennis.
Green light.
They drive off, and Jeff takes a different road to them. An expensive car passes him in the opposite direction.
Yeah, but if you're studying borrowing, you have to know exactly how much you're borrowing.
Can I go hang at the Plaza tonight?
Plaza?
Yeah, just friends. It might be a movie. Can you have Mr. Kim tonight? Can you wait?
Mr. Kim, we have on speed dial.
I'm hungry. I'm talking.
I'm ordering. Hello, yes. I wanted to put in an order, please, to pick up. What about homework?
Done.
I almost believe that. Yeah. We'd like to order, well, what do we like to order?
Kev, do the do. And super size.
Then why do I always gotta go?
If I'm buying, you're flying. Get out of the truck.
You should listen to your brother.
Give me some money, then.
It's in the box.
There's a gun in the glove compartment.
What's that for?
Dennis. Check the car. Check the car, Morse.
The expensive car driven by the man ordering Chinese food. His daughter, Jennifer, gets out and spots the three men. They watch her intently.
Hey, I know her. I mean, I don't know her. I've seen her around.
You know where she lives?
No.
She comes out of the nearby Chinese restaurant with a large paper bag. The driver of the truck, Dennis, mimes oral sex at her, and she flips him the finger and mouths back, "Fuck you."
I think it's funny. Rich bitch driving in her daddy's Escalade. Fuck you.
With a serious expression, Dennis fires up the truck and they pull away after Jennifer's car. Bristow Camino Police Station, Ventura County, California.
Hello, Louise.
Good afternoon, Chief.
Who's in the field?
Ruiz and Kovacs are working a TC over in Monteverde.
Two units, one fender bender. Hope she's 18.
Good afternoon, Chief.
Bill. Mikey. Very dynamic wheels. Casual Monday?
Well, Chief...
How do you expect to be taken seriously as a cop if you're going to wear sneakers to work, kid?
I'm sorry, Chief. It won't happen again.
That's what you said on Casual Sunday.
It was the playoffs.
Yeah. What do you say we rename today Low Crime Monday? Followed by what?
Low Crime Tuesday.
That's right.
Low Crime Tuesday.
Once in his office, he sighs deeply. The red truck is making its way up a winding mountain road. Not too far ahead, Jennifer's dad, Walter, is driving her and her little brother, Tommy, towards an impressive modern mountaintop house. The house is built up against a large rock formation jutting up towards the sky. Heavy iron gates open automatically as they arrive and pull neatly into a courtyard. The large car reverses slowly into a garage. Walter's working at a computer.
Yes, I would say Brenda's looking very good. Fine, a couple of minutes.
Daddy?
Can you give me just a second? My son just walked in. What's this attached to my ear?
A phone.
Why is it attached to my ear?
Because you're talking on it.
Which means you are.
Interrupting your conversation.
That's my genius. Okay, Mr. Genius, what I'd like is all your homework done on my desk before any more television. Sound good? I know. How about getting the doors there for me, champ? Appreciate it. One, and then...
the other.
Yeah. Thanks, champ. Okay. I am ready to loan you Heaven Can Wait. What time would you like me to drop it? Okay.
He takes a disc from his computer and puts it in a DVD box for the film Heaven Can Wait.
Done.
He slipped the DVD between some others lined up on a shelf behind him. Dennis, his brother Kevin, and friend Mars are parked nearby looking up at the house.
I like it. Let's just go to the movies. We're gonna go to the movies. But first we're gonna take Daddy's car.
No, man. Dennis, this is way worse than any shit you've done before.
Dennis grabs the gun from the glove compartment.
Stay in the truck, okay?
Kevin looks worried as the two of them get out.
Dad, you're such a dinosaur!
All right, all I'm saying is that there are men.
Men! Not the boys I go to school with!
Right. Men. Okay? Men see this sort of outfit as a sexual invitation. That's all I'm saying.
They don't notice Mars and Dennis climbing over the gate on a CCTV screen. Watching through a two-way mirror in the wall of a large walk-in wardrobe, Walter spots Jennifer searching through his wallet and steps up to the doorway.
Looking for something?
Empty.
Ooh, how'd that happen?
Look, how's this? If I change what I'm wearing, will you give me $40 for tonight?
That doesn't remind me of your mother. How about you change what you're wearing and then we talk about the $40 afterwards, huh?
Okay.
Walter opens a heavy safe. From inside, he takes a wad of banknotes and starts counting some out. Directly above the safe is a large TV screen which displays a series of images from various CCTV cameras. One view captures Dennis and Mars, who have now reached the two vehicles in the open garage.
Hey, door.
Jennifer carries a shoulder bag as she walks along a corridor. On the back of her top are the words, "Burn it." Suddenly, Dennis grabs her.
Say it again, bitch. Say fuck you.
Getting a drinks can from the fridge, Tommy spots Mars and quickly presses a hidden panic button. The words, "Silent alarm activated," appear on Walter's security monitor. Tommy then looks up to see Mars staring down at him.
Tommy! Tommy!
Hey, don't move!
No.
Don't move, man.
What do you want?
Who else is in the house? Nobody. Where's Mommy? Huh? Where's Mommy? Well, now my wife's dead. Mars, the door!
Mars pushes Tommy into his father's arms, then quickly takes up a position with his back against the wall adjacent to the hallway. Pulling his gun from his waistband, he steps out and levels it at the person approaching. It's Kevin.
You really should listen to your brother.
Shit!
What are you doing?
Shit! I told you, stay in the fucking truck!
Then it's man, you can't do this!
Don't use my fucking name! Where are the keys?
Keys?
Where are the fucking car keys?
In my office.
Office, go. Come on, let's go.
All right.
Come on.
It's gonna be okay. I like your shirt.
To Jeff.
By the way, Carol's answering a silent alarm. Says there's a suspicious vehicle out front.
All right. Let's get her some backup. She's in the area.
Bristol 23 and 29 are 15 requesting backup. Ruiz, Kovacs, are you out there? Bristol 23 and 29er, 15 requesting backup. Bristol 23 and 29er, 15 requesting backup.
Louise, what's the address on that alarm? I'm gonna go check it out myself.
Daddy, just give them the keys.
I'm gonna give them the keys, honey. I just need to be certain.
Who's that? What the fuck is that?
Front gate. It's a cop.
Dennis, it's a cop.
Shit. You know, it's okay. Just be cool.
Shit.
It's okay.
Shit.
I can just...
Shut the fuck up!
Calm down, okay? I can talk to the police officer from here using that. I can tell her that everything's fine. Then she'll go. And then you can go.
The police officer, a young woman, peers through into the courtyard beyond the iron gates. Mars creeps towards the gates.
Hello.
Afternoon. This is Officer Flores with the Bristol Camino Police Department. We're answering a silent alarm.
Is everything okay in there?
I'm sorry. We must have accidentally tripped the alarm.
I understand, sir. These things happen all the time.
But there's an abandoned pickup truck on your street. Have you seen who it might belong to?
Oh, no, it's not abandoned. There's a guy here fixing the air conditioning.
I'm sure everything's okay.
Could you come outside, please?
Officer.
My son's got a fever. I've got the pediatrician on hold. You really need me to come down there.
15, please respond.
Bristow Base, this is 15. Come back.
Carol, be advised, there's a felony wad on that red pickup. The vehicle's suspected of being involved in a carjacking. Last week in Valencia.
Mars has stepped out and shot Carol in the shoulder. She spins round and stands shaking for a moment. Then Mars shoots her in the back and she collapses onto the ground.
Mars! Fucking shit!
Mars looks like he's about to shoot Carol a third time when a police car appears, speeding towards the house. He runs up some steps and fires a volley of shots at it.
Dennis, in my desk, I have contacts for lawyers and judges. I can help you get out of this, Dennis.
Stop losing my fucking name!
Dennis beats Walter to the floor.
Fuck!
Jeff's on his way. A bullet hits his windscreen and he skids to a halt.
Hector, you all right?
Dennis moves to the foot of the steps.
Jesus Christ, what are you doing?
They ran your truck, dog. They know we've been jacking cars.
Ben, you in the house. Chief Talley of the Bristol Camino Police Department. I'm going to bring my car closer so I can evacuate the injured officer. I am not coming in the house. I repeat, I am not coming in the house. Do not shoot me. Do not shoot at me.
Jeff manages to get closer to Carol.
Carol, come on, give me your hand. Hang on, come on. Come on. Just hang on.
Having dragged Carol into his car, Jeff tears off again. He drives around a corner, but stops. Carol's eyes are fixed and lifeless. Jeff sits breathing deeply, barely moving. day gives way to night. An ambulance as a stretcher is loaded into the back of it. They watch as the vehicle drives away. Jeff turns to Mike, who's crying.
Hey. Put yourself together. I'll put this in the back of one of the cars. Go on.
Jeff's face is full of sadness as he watches Mike go.
ETN, the sheriff's 15 minutes. Deputy in charge is Captain Shoemaker. Negotiator is Will Beckler.
Thanks, Louise.
Cook's registered to a Marianne Kelly of Aqua Dulce. We're still trying to track her down. But a neighbor told us she lives with her two teenage boys, Dennis and Kevin. And a neighbor also told us that Dennis has some juvenile history.
You're gonna go to jail. You're all gonna go to jail.
Enough.
Why won't you just leave us alone?
Time up with what?
Time up. I don't know. Just figure something out. Time up. Go upstairs. Let's go.
I'm not leaving my father.
I'm gonna take care of him. I'm gonna get some ice for his head. Maybe a pillow. It's okay.
Come on. Let's go. Let's go.
The numerous phones around the house have begun to ring. Hesitantly, Dennis picks one up.
Yeah?
Since you're answering the phone, I'm going to assume this is Dennis.
I'll take that as a yes. This is Jeff Talley, Dennis. I'm with the local police. You the man in charge in there?
Yeah. I'm in charge.
All right.
Then you can tell me who shot my cop. Was it you or Kevin?
No! No! Don't put that on us!
I want to talk to Mr. Smith for a minute. I want to hear from him that everything's okay inside the house.
Fuck you. I'm running this shit. You talk to me.
That's right, Dennis. You are running this shit. Tell me you're the man in charge. That'll be your responsibility. Understand?
Fuck you! Don't try and play me! You get us a helicopter that flies out of the shit.
Just a local paper pusher, Dennis.
Get me a fucking helicopter before I start shooting people!
Be cool, Dennis. Be cool. Nobody wants to hear guns go off in there. Tell me you didn't shoot my cop? All right, I believe you. But nobody's going to be able to help you if you start hurting people in there, you understand?
Just get me what I want.
I'm not the guy, Dennis.
Then get me the guy!
Dennis hangs up.
Please come back.
Go, Chief.
Confirm the entire Smith family is inside the house, along with two suspects, possibly a third.
Jennifer and Tommy sit back to back with their arms tied together. They're sitting on the bed in Jennifer's room, and Mars is sitting on the bed next to them.
What hit?
Jennifer shakes her head at the offer joint, and so does Tommy.
Okay.
Kevin enters a large room with a water feature. He walks up to the rough rock wall at the far end and examines it.
Can't get out this way! Can't get out this way either!
Hey, Dennis. Dennis.
What?
Dennis.
What?
That cop. Mars just started shooting.
You know what, Kevin? Mars had a reason.
Had a reason?
Yeah.
Dennis, you know that guy like 3 weeks. And he just shot a cop.
We're supposed to think that was Kevin.
Huh? He shot a cop.
Huh? Maybe you should have stayed in the truck. If you had listened, you could have warned us. You could have lied to the cop. You could have done something other than fucking this shit up.
Kevin sees Mars looking down at him from a balcony.
There's no way out of here.
Hey, you guys gotta come see this shit. Kitchen, driveway, your office right there.
Dennis presses a button marked dish.
Holy shit.
Kevin uses a TV remote control.
Apparently a hostage situation is unfolding. We have no further information.
Mars looks through the two-way mirror. Dennis discovers the open safe. He excitedly pulls out a security box and two wads of cash, one of which he fans out and hurriedly counts. Mars examines a metal door.
Fucking rich people.
As Dennis tries to get into the security box, Mars idly presses a control that reads, Secure All.
No, it's back!
Heavy security grills descend over all the windows, thick metal bolts slide across the doors, and lights come on all around the house's exterior. Jeff.
Fucking rich people.
Dennis opens one of two bags he's found in the safe and looks taken aback by what's inside.
Put it back.
Claustrophobic.
Trifectophobic.
Marsh! Kevin!
Dennis empties the bags. They're both full of money.
Fucking check this out!
A chopper flies low over a small convoy of police and emergency vehicles. The area around the house has been cordoned off with traffic barriers, and a TV crew is filming a news report. One of the cars parked nearby is black and expensive looking. The man who's sitting partially hidden in the shadowy rear seat makes a call on his mobile. Walter lies still unconscious on the floor where he fell. The mobile in his pocket's ringing.
Hi, Walter Smith. You reached my voicemail. Please leave a message.
The man in the car hangs up and makes another call.
We have a problem. I can't get to the accountant.
I know. I'm watching it on TV. We must get control of this situation. We have 9 hours until the handoff.
So Camino is a very small police department, so we have requested the assistance of Ventura County Sheriff's Department, who will be here shortly.
Chief, we understand that.
Just stop it. You need to help Daddy.
Shut up. Watch the TV. That's the police, okay? They're going to help.
We got to cut the tape.
Shut up.
All together, okay? Off the bed. Then, like, maybe we can get what's under the bed.
Under my bed? What's under my bed?
The bomb. We can break it.
What? You've been sneaking in my room?
Dennis hears the bang that comes from upstairs.
Come on. Hurry faster.
I'm trying.
What are you guys doing here?
Okay. All right, come on, fight with me now. Stop screaming, you little
gerbil. Jesus Christ. You're kidding me. Are you kidding me? Hey, Keith, cut him. Yeah, cut him. Hey, Keith, weighs like 30 pounds. Are you kidding me? Tie him up, okay? Tie him up in his own room.
Honey,
please try doing it right, okay? Please do it right. You get the girl.
Okay.
Do it right without digging it up.
To Mars.
What about my brother?
Don't worry about him. You called?
No.
I'm Marshall. What's your name?
Jennifer.
Please.
Very gently, Mars takes Jennifer's hands and helps her to her feet.
Please.
Under the bed is the broken bong. Tommy's hands have been taped behind his back, but in one hand he's managed to conceal a piece of broken glass. Despite blood seeping from the hand, Tommy manages to cut himself loose. He rips the tape off and examines the injury. Tommy turns on a TV. Tommy uses the remote to view the CCTV images from around the house. He sees Dennis counting the money on a bed and Mars walking through a dining room with Jennifer. He drops the remote and rushes into a walk-in cupboard. Tommy climbs up a set of shelves there and pulls open a toy car display at the top. Behind this is a small hatch which he clambers through. Beyond is a secret alcove littered with Tommy's possessions. Grabbing a torch, he moves past the alcove into a metal ventilation shaft. Tommy climbs down from the shaft into a wide cavity space. he opens another small hatch near the floor and, after peering in with his torch, cautiously crawls through. He climbs down into the walk-in cupboard in Jennifer's room, then sneaks across the floor to where her handbag's lying on the floor by the bed. Tommy removes a mobile phone from it and quickly returns to the cupboard. Jeff's with a plainclothes colleague.
That's the helicopter, yeah?
Right from the jump. I want to get a minister or a priest up here.
Riding the bike, isn't it?
Want to talk to him?
Robbie! Got me that dedicated line yet? You miss L.A.?
Jeff doesn't respond. Someone arrives with a phone.
Speed dial one.
Yeah?
Dennis, this is Jeff Talley. I'm going to introduce you to Will Beckler from the Sheriff's Department. You ready to talk to him?
Is he the guy?
Yeah, Dennis. This is the guy. Hang on. Good luck. See you around.
Jeff hands the phone to Will.
Captain Shoemaker?
Captain?
Thank you for coming up.
Thanks.
Anything you need, give me a call.
Striding past some of the soldiers that are in the area, Jeff walks to his police car and gets in. Several snipers are taking to the hills around the house and disappear into the darkness as Jeff starts up his engine and drives off. He blows out his cheeks as he passes two police cars parked at the scene.
Hostage situation is unfolding. Well, Jim, details are still a bit incomplete right now, but here's what we know so far. Earlier today, a police officer was shot and killed while...
Hey, how you doing? It's me. You guys almost home?
Actually, we're still at your place.
After you left, Amanda and I, we had another fight.
She turned on the TV. We've been watching it all.
Well... I turned it over to county, so I'm not there anymore.
Look, I know you're busy, but...
Can you stop by for a little bit?
I think I can, yeah. I could go by Carol's. She had a kid.
It's not your fault she's dead, Jeff. You know? It's not your fault.
Yeah. So what was the argument about?
Oh, you know, what it's always about. She's afraid we're going to get divorced.
What do you think, Jen? You think we're going to get divorced?
No.
Good. Me neither.
So?
I'll see you in a minute.
Okay.
See you in a minute.
I will.
Okay.
Love you.
Jeff gets back into his car and starts the engine. The muzzle of a gun is pushed into his side, and a gloved hand removes his own gun from its holster.
Drive.
Jeff does so. The police car splashes through a deep puddle before pulling out onto a main road. Jeff keeps his eyes fixed ahead. The streets are wet from heavy rainfall and reflect surrounding shop and street lights. Jeff's car drives slowly down a ramp into a wide and dimly lit passageway. As the vehicle pulls to a stop, its front bumper makes contact with a large metal bin. The gun's placed to Jeff's head, and he sits stock still as a black van reverses towards the police car. It comes to a stop close to the rear bumper, and the silhouetted figures of several men get out. One man opens the passenger door opposite Jeff, and his gloved hand gently pushes aside the gun pressed to Jeff's forehead. The man wears a balaclava, and he turns the engine off and removes the keys.
I know you're scared, but as long as you don't do anything stupid, we're not going to hurt you. Do you understand?
What do you want?
I want you to put your hands on the roof of the car.
Jeff does so, and the man removes the handcuffs from Jeff's belt before fastening the seat belt around Jeff.
Pardon me. Now, would you mind putting your left hand through the steering wheel, please? Now bring me the right. Good. Good. Now the guy behind you is going to take hold of you. Don't struggle. It's for your own good. Please.
The man behind Jeff wraps his arm around his neck and restrains him tightly.
Eyes in the rearview mirror. Now.
The van doors open, revealing Amanda and Jane bound and gagged. Jeff struggles furiously. A tear rolls down his cheek as the doors are closed again, and he gradually stops struggling.
I know. I know, I know. But at least they're still alive. From this point on, you control what happens to them. Can we let you go? Can you be calm?
Jeff nods.
Good.
The man behind releases his grip.
Now, listen to me. I want you to go back to Walter Smith's house. There's a DVD inside Walter Smith's house. It belongs to me.
No longer in command.
You are going to reassume command until my people arrive to finish the job. You're not going to let anyone go into the house or anything come out. Are you with me so far?
I can't do that.
You are the famous Jeff Talley. 10 years SWAT, 7 years prime hostage negotiator. You'll figure it out. When this white phone rings, it'll be me. For further instructions, if you deviate from the plan one little bit, I will kill your wife. And then I will kill your child. But when I have what I want, you get your family back.
The man gives Jeff the keys.
Now you wait until our van is gone before you uncuff yourself. Let's bring this home, Tally.
The man and his companion both get out of the police car and go to the van. Jeff waits fearfully. He's nearly sobbing and his eyes are wet with tears. Jeff holds a torch as he bursts into his darkened home. The place is a mess with furniture scattered about. He's startled when his torch beam illuminates the dead and bloodied dog. He's retrieving a handgun from a bag marked SWAT when he checks to see which of the two phones in his pocket is ringing. Seeing that it's his own phone, he pulls out its aerial and answers it.
Yeah?
We have a boy on the line. Now, he says he's Tommy Smith.
I was going to turn him over to the sheriff's, but he says he saw you on TV and he wants to speak with you.
All right, Louise, put him on.
Hold on.
You the man on TV?
Yes, Tommy, this is the man on TV.
The guy called Dennis. Hey, my dad. And now
slow down, Tommy. Slow down, Tommy. Slow down.
I'm really, really scared, and you gotta help
us. Slow down and take it easy. Was your dad shot?
Dennis hit him a bunch of times.
Shh.
He hit my dad.
Tommy.
He needs a doctor.
Try and talk quietly, okay? Just take it easy.
Okay.
All right? Are you in a safe place?
I'm in my bedroom. They think I'm tied up, but I got free.
Wait, Tommy. How do you know they can't hear you?
Because I can see them on the security channel.
Tell me everything you can see on the TV.
You see Dennis. You see Kevin. You see trees. I can see army men. I see the Mars guy.
Wait, Tommy. Tell me about Mars.
Jim Shoemaker.
Get me an aerial shot ASAP. This is Shoemaker.
They're watching you on the outside cameras.
Chief Alex?
The suspect inside the house. They're watching you and watching every move you make.
Where did you get this information, Chief?
If I were you, I'd be thinking about what to do with that information.
Jeff Tribes.
Mikey. Yeah, it's me. Listen to me.
Yeah, Chief. Yeah, stop the shipping position.
Louise, come back. Come on, Louise, where's that patch?
I'm locked out. It's a dedicated line, Chief. They won't let me cut in.
What about Walter Smith's cell phone? Did you get that?
Yes. Yes, I got it.
Okay, go.
It's 805-459.
Dennis, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing your dad's a real son of a bitch.
No, I'm fucking done, okay? All I want is my fucking helicopter to fly me the fuck out of here. You got that? Fuckhead?
Dennis, listen.
Dennis drops the phone.
Hi. Welcome, Spence. To reach my voicemail.
Come on, Dennis, pick it up. Come on.
Kevin has a distant expression on his face as he sits on a sofa beneath a large aquarium of colorful fish. His brother enters the room, holding his gun at his side. Dennis looks at Kevin, who points to where Walter's lying.
He keeps ringing.
Dennis approaches Walter, who's now been tied up. Slipping the gun into the waistband of his trousers, Dennis crouches down and removes the phone from Walter's pocket. He stands up again and answers the call.
Hello?
Dennis, this is Jeff Talley. Listen to me. Watch the security channel. Dennis, can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't really know what you're talking about.
The hell you don't! Shut up! Listen to me! Just watch the TV! Just keep watching the outside cameras!
Yeah, what am I supposed to be
saying? Shut up! Get your ass on the floor and watch the outside cameras, Dennis!
I'm watching, okay? I'm watching.
Signals are lost as snipers shoot out the cameras.
What are you doing?
What? Talk to me, Dennis.
Yeah, I'm here.
Listen to me carefully. The sheriff's playbook is to make you dead. First they're going to shoot out those cameras, and then they're going to shoot you. Am I clear?
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to save your life.
Wait, I don't
Shut
understand.
Up. I'm trying to save your life.
But you said you weren't the guy.
I am the guy, Dennis. I am the guy.
Jeff skids to a halt near a police cordon. He gets out and immediately looks up to where a chopper's hovering overhead.
Tech Sergeant, pull your people back 50 yards!
Hold on! You turned authority of this situation
I'm over. Command. What are you waiting for?
Disregard! You don't give orders to my men. Now, 10 minutes ago, you called and told me to shoot out the cameras. Now
shot out the cameras? I give you great intel like that and you just piss it away? Way to go, big time.
I am not going to let you step back in after you
my
step
town.
Out.
My town. I invited you to my jurisdiction, all right?
Dennis says he doesn't trust me anymore. Says he's going to shoot a hostage if he doesn't talk to Tally. Right now.
The name of the shooter in the house is Mars. You're going to want to run that through your database. Your next question is, how did I get that information? The little boy in the house called me on his sister's cell phone.
Will hands Jeff the dedicated crisis phone. Jeff's leaning against a police car when Mike approaches him.
Chief? You okay?
I'm back up top, kid.
Mike Mike heads off, and Jeff looks over at the house, which has a police spotlight playing against its walls. He blows his cheeks out and makes a call on the dedicated hotline.
Hey, Dennis, it's Jeff. Everybody okay in there?
We're bugging in here, man.
I know, I'm trying to help. Dennis, I really need to talk to Walter Smith.
Smith's not talking.
Is Smith not talking because you won't let him? Or is he not talking because he can't?
It's not my fault. I've hit people harder. And they haven't fallen.
I understand. You're under a lot of pressure in there. But come on, man. I just saved your life and you know it. All I'm asking is that you help me save his life. Come on.
Dennis.
He wants me to give up the old man.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's your spin.
Yeah. Good idea.
It's not a wise move. We don't have enough information. Look, I want to help, but I am not going to let you do something that draws fire on my men.
You want to help me? Turn the lights off. Get the bird out of here. Please.
Shoemaker stares at Jeff, then goes.
Mikey, I'm behind the command post. Come on up here, will you?
Not for breaking all the rules. But one. Now, Dennis already broke it off with me. If you get shot, we are all...
I'm trying to save a life, Will.
Yes, you?
What we got on EMTs, Mike?
There's like seven units. Take your
names, head. Mike. Names.
Okay, there's Hoffman. There's Latona. Ridley. Jack.
Ridley. Get Ridley up here. On the strip.
Okay.
You too.
Wait, me too,
Strip. You drive.
Through his scope, a sniper observes an ambulance slowly reversing up to the house.
Sniper 1 to control. Ambulance is 20 yards from the gate. No activity.
Will and Shoemaker are watching on a monitor. The ambulance's rear doors are open, and Jeff is in the doorway. He's stripped to the waist and kneeling on the floor with his hands in the air. Another cop, Ridley, is just behind him. Ridley's also stripped with his hands up. He notices the red handcuff marks on Jeff's wrists.
Oh, shit.
The ambulance has arrived at the gate, and Jeff sees two people's shadows run across the wall just before the gates begin to open. He then sees Walter lying on the ground a short distance away.
Come on.
He and Ridley quickly lift the stretcher out.
He's MOI. Let's load and go. Okay, 1, 3. Ready? Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Jeff gasps. Looking out of the darkness is Mars, who has his gun pointed at Jeff's head. Jeff stares back with fear in his eyes.
Bang.
Mars moves away into the gloom, and Jeff and Ridley lift Walter onto the stretcher.
Come on.
They get back into the ambulance.
Go, Mikey, go!
It heads back down the driveway, and the house gates close behind it.
Stop right here.
What, Chief?
Stop the goddamn ambulance!
Everybody okay?
What are you doing? We're gonna wake him up.
What?
We're gonna wake him up, and you're gonna do it.
He's fixed and dilated. He'll have brain damage for all I know. We're going to the hospital.
Wake up.
Hey,
wake up, Smith.
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
Hey, get your fucking hands off me!
You want me to write this up? Do you? I'll put this in the report right there.
Give him the smelling salts. Give him the shot of epinephrine. I need it for 1 minute.
I gotta ask him one question.
He can't answer you. Then just give him the drugs.
I am not gonna give this man a shot. Jeff! Jeff!
Get your gun, then. Get your gun and pull the trigger.
That's it! I need your help!
Do you want to kill him?
Go ahead, kill him. Come on, come on. Is that what you want?
I want your help, Bob.
No, Jeff. No. What you're doing can kill this man.
Jeff climbs out of the rear doors and slams them shut in a fury.
What you've been seeing is footage taken only minutes ago. We're not yet sure exactly who the rescued hostage is, but it appears to be an adult male. If our sources are correct, it could be Walter Smith, owner of the home and rescued hostage.
Smith is on his way to the hospital.
Smith worries me.
He knows his place in the food chain. He'll be good.
And so do we. If we don't deliver that DVD, we're going to need the accountant alive. Now get somebody over there and make sure we don't lose him.
Visiting hours are now over. Dr.
Triage. Someone at the information booth is asking for Walter Smith.
The doctor passes the phone to Mike.
Hello? Let me ask if you're a member of the Smith family. I'm sorry, but I'm only permitted to inform you that Mr. Smith was deceased on arrival, and that all other inquiries must be made tomorrow morning through the county coroner's office. If you'd like, I could give you the... Hello?
The ambulance is parked in darkness beneath a tree some distance from the house. Walter lies still on the stretcher, his head bandaged as Jeff finishes getting dressed. Ridley, who's also dressed, listens to Walter's heartbeat with a stethoscope. Ridley looks over at Jeff, who's strapping a second gun to his ankle.
Shit. You good?
Hell no, I'm not good, Jeff. The man needs a hospital. Damn, man, what the hell's going on?
It's not just his life you're saving. Stay off the radio. If you want to get in touch with me, call me on my cell phone.
Jeff answers the mobile.
What?
Did I not say nobody was to go in or out of the house? Now Smith is dead.
What do you care if Smith's dead? You said all you wanted was a DVD.
Oh, fuck. You wait for my people or I will cut your daughter's heart out.
Fuck you. Go ahead. Kill my family. Kill me. Before you do, I'm going to get in Smith's house. I'm going to box up all that dead motherfucker's DVDs and you and the feds can bid on them on eBay. How's that, smart fuck?
I guess we still need each other, don't we?
Yeah. I guess we do.
This isn't Los Angeles, Jeffrey. You don't want another dead child on your conscience. Now we're almost home, you and me. So keep your shit together.
Yeah. You too.
Jeff hangs up and covers his face with his hands.
Fuck.
Hey! We take the measurements, we use them up, we climb up over the rocks.
That's so stupid. They got helicopters? They got night vision and shit?
Okay, don't be a dumbass. We're not gonna walk out the front door.
You're
being a dumbass.
How are you gonna get the measurements up the rock?
What are you gonna do? You've done nothing! Do something!
You think we're gonna kill them?
I want to hear your plan. Please. Tell me your plan. Please.
Burn it.
What?
The house. We burn it. Lots of smoke. Helicopters can't see through smoke.
What about the brother and sister? Huh? Huh? What about the brother and sister? You're not killing any more people.
Mars stares at Kevin, then gets up and walks away.
Classic foster product. 3 years old, Marshall Krupchak witnesses daddy kill mommy, then sees daddy kill himself. You can guess the rest. Look at this. He's only 17 at the time. Clerk. He's trying to say something.
You're saying help me.
Yeah. Why are you standing there? Why are you just standing there?
The CCTV footage shows Mars looking down on an injured sales clerk.
He's not just standing there. He's watching him die. Talking to the wrong guy.
Inside the house, Mars is also looking at CCTV footage on a monitor. The house's interior security cameras capture images of Jennifer gagged and tied to a chair. Tommy's still loose in the house's spacious wall cavities. He uses a makeshift rope to climb down a shaft, then listens at the entrance to another ventilation passage.
Sucks him on.
Tommy crawls along.
My mom just walked out of my room.
Tommy peers through a grill.
He just, like, died. He died of a broken heart.
Down below, Mars is in the same room as Jennifer. Scared, she looks up at him as he lights a joint. He crouches down next to her. Mars then turns his gaze towards Jennifer and peels away the tape that's covering her mouth.
I know you're scared. I'm scared too.
He offers her the joint.
You want some?
She doesn't respond, and Mars moves his face close to hers. He inhales on the joint, then gently blows the smoke towards Jennifer's mouth. She turns away as she coughs.
What's the best day of your life? You know, today.
He stares into her eyes, then takes another hit from the joint. Mars moves his lips close to Jennifer's and blows the smoke into her mouth. With a sad and distant look on his face, he slowly lies his head down on her chest. Jennifer blows the smoke out.
Call Louise.
It's Tommy Smith again.
Yeah, put him on.
Tommy, you're talking to Chip Talley.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing, buddy?
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in my secret place.
Where's your secret place, Tommy?
It's kind of like this tunnel place.
No plans on a house yet?
I found her from my
Tommy, house. Tommy, listen to me, buddy. What exactly is in your secret place? Has it got, like, pipes and wires running through it?
Yeah.
It's in a crawl space. Where does your secret space lead to, Tommy?
Like everywhere. Chief Kelly?
Yeah, I'm still here, Tommy.
Dennis? You found my daddy's Benjamins. What's a Benjamin?
Benjamin is a $100 bill, Tommy. How many Benjamins does your daddy have?
Two big bags. Chief Kelly?
Yeah, Tommy.
Is my daddy gonna be okay?
Yes, yeah, son. A good friend of mine is watching over him. Tommy, I need you to go back to your room right now, okay?
Okay.
Did you turn your sister's cell phone on vibrate like I told you?
Yeah.
Good boy. Wait for me to call you back, okay?
Okay.
All right. We gotta get better plans at his house.
Yeah.
Where's Shoemaker? Yeah.
It's about Walter Smith.
What happened?
He's awake.
I gave him the shot.
Okay. Thanks.
In the ambulance.
Mr. Smith, my name is Jeff Talley. I'm the chief of police here in Bristow Camino. I'm talking to your son, Tommy. He's still inside the house, along with his sister, Jennifer. Now, I know you know the kind of young men they're dealing with. I need that DVD, Mr. Smith. You know what I'm talking about.
Save my children.
Of course, I want to save your family. But the only way I can do it is if I get that DVD.
Walter turns his face away slightly. He seems to think for a moment.
And I can't wait.
Where is it?
Office.
Jeff's walking outside. He pushes back the hood of the top he's wearing and makes a call.
Tommy.
You okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. Tommy, I have to ask you a grown-up question now, okay?
Okay.
If you could do it safely. And only... if you could do it safely, could you get into your daddy's office without anyone seeing you?
I guess so, but my daddy says I'm never ever supposed to go in there.
Keep your voice down, buddy. Keep your voice down. Remember?
Okay.
Tommy, do you like to play video games?
Yeah.
Do you? What kind of games do you play?
I like Monster Jam. I play Bounty Hunter. I play Wubbazorg.
Wubbazorg. I know Wubbazorg. I know that game. That means you know who Agent Zero is, right?
Yeah.
What do you think Agent Zero would do right now? Do you think he would say never ever, Tommy?
No, he wouldn't say never. Agent Zero would help Captain Wubba save Planet Xenon. Are you like Captain Wubba?
And my house is Planet Xenon.
And Captain Wubba's gonna save Planet Xenon.
Right?
Jeff seems overcome for a moment and has to compose himself.
Yeah, Tommy. Captain Wubba's gonna save Planet Xenon. But I need your help.
Oh, the most efficient entry point is here, the pool area. Four-man team ropes in. Silent entry through one of the skylights here.
All right. I'll put the door and the two boys here in the courtyard. I'll keep the two kids in the house. We're timing you for the play.
2 minutes. Say you can get the hostages to the pool area. How are you going to get all three suspects to this side of the house?
Well, I'm about to jump off that bridge, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm coming up.
What?
You and I are going to talk. Make sure you're alone.
Dennis walks past the aquarium. A small access hatch opens in the ceiling of a nearby bathroom, and Tommy climbs down from it, using some shelves as steps. He glances up as the hatch falls closed again, then jumps down onto the bathroom floor and turns off his torch. Jeff's at the gate.
Dennis? Dennis?
What do you want?
You by yourself?
Yeah.
We got a problem, Dennis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Walter Smith just died. You hear what I said?
Yeah.
I know Mars killed my cop. But Smith's death is on you, man. Things just got a lot more complicated, didn't they, Dennis? Not to mention the fact that helicopters are very expensive. Gotta pay for the fuel, pilot, chief of police. You know what cops do when they're retired, Dennis? They play golf. I don't want to play golf. I hate fucking golf. I want a house on the golf course. I want that. Waldo Smith talked to me before he died. I know about the money.
I don't know shit about money, man. I don't know shit about what you're talking about.
Talking about a transaction. You want a helicopter, I want a house on the golf course.
$50,000.
Maybe you can negotiate with the sheriffs for that.
No, no. Shit. Half. I'll give you half, okay? It's like $2 million, okay? Half is good.
All right. Sell it to your crew. Jennifer and Tommy stay in the house. Three of you down here in the courtyard. Trade the helicopter for the cash.
How do I know the pilot's not going to shoot me?
Let me worry about the pilot. Just make sure he gets that bag, understand?
Yeah.
Half an hour.
Jeff goes and Dennis sighs. Tommy's in his father's office, looking through the DVD collection. He finds the case for Heaven Can Wait and smiles. He then realizes there's a second case on the shelf with the same title. The second DVD is the earlier version of the film. Taking both of them, Tommy sneaks back to the bathroom and begins to climb back up to the ceiling hatch. It won't budge, and he's forced to make his way cautiously through the house.
I'm the one with the balls. I made the deal. Fine, whatever, just get it out. I'm getting us out, Kevin. What do you think I'm doing? Making it worse. Look, I always take care of it. Bullshit! The way it is, Kevin, always has been and always will be. Always, okay? What if they just want to get us outside and just to shoot us? Could have killed us like a million times, Kev, but they didn't because Tally wants to get paid. Yeah. Get paid and then shoot us.
We're leaving.
Wait, leaving where?
We're going on a helicopter ride.
No. No, I don't want to. I'm not your girl. I'm not going anywhere with you. I'm not leaving.
Mars grabs Jennifer's throat and pushes her up against a wall. He stares at her with intense eyes.
Come on, girl. Come on, girl. Come with me.
Red team, ropes in. Upon entry, our packages should be here. This indoor pool area. Any questions?
A helicopter descends for a landing on the driveway of the house. Tommy looks through a window and sees the main gates opening. Jeff, silhouetted by the chopper's powerful light, walks into the courtyard. Dennis and Kevin run out to meet him, Dennis throwing down a bag as he does so.
Go there! $2 million!
Okay, let's go! Where's... What's this? This wasn't what we discussed. This wasn't what we talked about. Three people in the chopper. That's all I can carry, Dennis. I thought you were the man in charge. Isn't that what you told me? You said I'm the man?
I am the man. I am in charge.
Prove it.
Mark, leave us.
Kenny and I are going nowhere.
Dennis, the man that owns this house is a criminal. So are his friends. This money belongs to them.
You want more money?
They're gonna fucking kill you!
You want
more
fucking money?
You chose the wrong house the wrong day! I'm not lying!
Bullshit!
The only thing I lied to you about was Smith! He's not dead. You didn't kill anybody. That means that you and your brother can still beat the hard shit! Just walk out of here with me! Put those guns down and walk out now! Come on! Don't let him fuck fucking dog!
That is his fuck! They're gonna shoot us as soon as we get through the gate!
You're lying to me!
Shoot him!
What the no, fuck is that? Sorry. I'm sorry.
Shoot him!
I'm gonna turn around.
No, you will not!
I'm gonna turn around and walk out of here. And I will call you on the phone.
Come on, no! Come on, Dad! Shoot him!
Dennis has fired his gun into the air. Kevin.
We can go!
Let him go!
Fuck you!
Come on, Kevin! Come with me!
We're out the back!
Come on!
Get the dog in the back! Get the back! God damn it, Dennis! Dennis!
I am in charge!
Mars drags Jennifer into the house, and Jeff strides back through the gate.
Stand down! Stand down! Get her in the house!
As the helicopter and a SWAT team back away, Tommy finds the security box on the floor of his dad's office. He taps a sequence into its finger pad, and the box opens. Tommy removes a handgun. He sees Mars with his sister on a monitor and quickly runs to a ventilation shaft, leaving the two DVDs behind.
I want to go. Please. I want to go.
Mars is siphoning petrol from a car into a number of empty bottles.
I'm your brother.
I said I'm fucking
I'm your brother. So you gotta choose. Me. Or Mars!
Dennis looks at his brother.
I choose the money.
Oh. Oh. You choose the money.
You choose the money?
Kevin violently empties the cash from the bags, hurling it everywhere.
Picking it up. Done.
Dennis slaps Kevin hard, knocking him to the floor. He removes his belt and is about to strike Kevin, but walks away instead. Shoemaker to Jeff.
Chief Talley, the situation has clearly gotten away from you. Your flagrant disregard for protocol has unnecessarily placed yourself and my officers in the line of fire. My opinion, you remain in command. There's a probability of a negative outcome.
What are you doing?
Jump. Made it easy.
What are you doing?
You're done. You're finished.
Chief Dow, the FBI's here at the barricade and they're asking for you.
An officer moves a barrier back and a black military-style transport vehicle marked FBI drives up to the police cars nearest the house. A man wearing an FBI jacket climbs out.
Where's Chief Talley?
Laura Shoemaker, Sheriff's Department. I'm in command.
Are you Talley? Walter Smith and his family are witnesses under federal protection. Chief, the United States government would like to thank you for your service and cooperation. Chief, move now.
Chief Talley is no longer in command here.
This is a federal matter now, ma'am. Get in.
Jeff does as he's directed and climbs into the back of the FBI vehicle, and its doors are closed behind him. Inside, the man, whose face is smeared with black camouflage paint, hands Jeff a photograph of his bound and gagged family. The man's shining a torch in Jeff's face.
That would be the white phone.
Tears glisten in Jeff's eyes. Before he can answer the phone, the man takes the gun that's tucked into Jeff's waistband. Jeff takes the call.
Yeah. You're almost home, Talley. All you have to do is stay put and leave the rest to my men. When they recover the DVD, you recover your family.
Counterfeit feds. Must be very expensive.
Maybe they're real. Maybe not. The less you know, the better for you.
Jennifer is spread-eagled on her bed. Both of her arms and one of her legs is tied to a corner post, and Mars goes about securing her remaining free leg by tightening a belt around her ankle. Leaving a knife sunk into the wood at the foot of the bed, Mars turns off the light and walks out of the room.
Look, when all this shit's done, it's just gonna be you and me again, okay? Kev? And with this kind of cake, I mean, rich people always got a way out, you know?
Kevin's ignoring him.
Come on, let me see how bad it is. Kev. Damn it, there are kids in that house. Turn this into a smash and grab job and people are gonna get killed.
You have your instructions, I have mine. We'll leave it at that. Come any closer to the house and your family is dead.
The fake FBI troopers approach the house. Mars is carrying a bucket and a fuel container through the garage. Meanwhile, Kevin enters Tommy's darkened bedroom, but sees no sign of him. He closes the door again and is startled by Mars. They stare at each other.
It's over. I'm taking them and going.
Okay. You gotta go, huh?
Kevin walks away, but as he does so, Mars pushes him over a balcony. Kevin plunges down and crashes onto the floor below. Dennis rushes over.
Shit! 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 They shot him! They shot him! I'm sorry, Kevin. I'm sorry. Shit! Mars! They shot Kevin! Mars!
Dennis.
Mars. Do something, please.
I am.
What?
Mars shoots Dennis dead. He stares down with twisted fascination at Kevin, whose eyes widen as he breathes his last. Kevin's body is lying in the lap of his dead brother, whose head hangs down over him. Sitting in a police car on his own, a pensive-looking Jeff has a sudden flashback to the sight of Jane and Amanda held captive in the back of the van. He points his dad's gun at Mars.
Shoot him, Tommy! Shoot him! Shoot him!
Mars takes hold of the gun's barrel and kneels down.
Tommy, shoot him! Shoot him! Shoot him, Tommy! Shoot him! Shoot him!
Mars thrusts the gun against his own chest.
Do it. Please, do it.
Tommy pulls the trigger, but nothing happens. Mars snatches the gun away.
Safety first.
He takes off the safety catch and pushes Tommy aside. Jennifer manages to cut her arm free and stabs Mars in the face with the knife. Mars pulls the knife from his cheek. Jeff's watching the house as he makes a call.
Come on, Tommy, pick it up, kid. Come on. Come on, Tommy, pick it up.
Tommy,
can you hear me?
Answer me, Tommy!
Go faster, go faster!
cars is chasing them through the ventilation shafts. Jennifer glances back. Tommy bursts through a hatch into a bathroom, and Jennifer tries to follow, but Mars grabs her ankle. She kicks him in the face repeatedly. Tommy opens the hatch and tries to pull his sister through. He succeeds, and they both fall onto the bathroom floor. Tommy fails to notice he's dropped Jennifer's mobile as Mars emerges from the hatch. They run into the walk-in wardrobe, and Jennifer manages to close and lock the door.
Tommy! Answer me!
Answer me, Tommy!
Holding each other tightly, Jennifer and Tommy can see Mars in the bathroom through the two-way mirror.
It's okay. I can't see us.
Mars shatters the mirror with a towel rag. He smears the transparent sheet of plastic that remains with a bloody hand mark before pointing his gun at it.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Hearing the gunshots, Jeff starts running. Mars's bullets have failed to penetrate the plastic, and now he's using his own blood to write something back to front on its surface. He walks away, and Tommy and Jennifer look at the message he's written. It reads, "Burn it." One of the fake FBI troopers shoots out a power line, plunging the house into darkness. Two more have to jump out of the way as Jeff drives his police car at speed up the driveway. He crashes into the gates and knocks them from their hinges. As the car comes to a stop in the courtyard, Mars is waiting. He appears at a balcony and hurls a Molotov cocktail down onto the vehicle. It explodes on the bonnet, and Jeff rushes from the burning car carrying a shotgun. Four men abseil onto the roof of the house. Coming across a locked door, Jeff blasts it with the shotgun, only to discover a blazing fire on the other side. The fake FBI assault team fix a charge to a window and blast their way into the office. They swing inside on ropes. Part of the house is seriously ablaze now, and Jeff backs away from a burning corridor. Two members of the assault team smash their way into a bedroom and shoot into a cupboard when they hear a noise. From a shaft above, Mars drops a lighter onto the carpet, which is soaked in petrol. The two men are set alight. While the assault team leader checks DVDs on a shelf, his companion guards the door. Jeff enters the bathroom and through the plastic sees Tommy and Jennifer cowering in the wardrobe. He signals to them to open the door and they do so. Tommy throws his arms around Jeff.
Very good. You did really good. Okay. Jennifer?
Come on. We have to leave right now. Come on. Get that shower on in there. Go. Get the shower on. Get some towels wet. Get them soaked. Come, Tommy. Come on. Come on.
I got your special movie.
You're very brave. Press that on the right. Go help your sister. We're still in trouble.
All right, hurry, please.
Having failed to find the DVD, the leader of the assault team starts to check a desk. Neither he nor his companion notice Mars, who slowly lowers his head and shoulders down from a nearby ceiling hatch.
Fuck!
Mars kills the guard, then disappears back into the hatch. The leader sees him go and fires at the ceiling, hitting Mars several times.
Come on, come on!
To Jeff.
Gone. Down.
Jeff throws his shotgun down.
Turn around. Slowly. Nobody leaves till I get what I need.
Just let him get to the front door.
The leader has shot Jeff in the abdomen. Half lying on the ground and grimacing with pain, he reaches into the waistband of his trousers and pulls out the DVDs. He throws them at the man's feet. The man picks up the correct one, opens its case up, and seemingly satisfied, closes it again.
Just let him go.
The man looks at Jennifer, who spots Mars behind him. The man spins just as Mars hurls a Molotov cocktail at him, engulfing him in a fireball. Jeff grabs the gun at his ankle and empties it into the burning man. The man finally falls. Now Mars is walking towards Jeff, Tommy and Jennifer. He's bleeding heavily and carries a Molotov cocktail in each hand. He hurls one down onto the piles of cash scattered next to Dennis and Kevin's bodies. He holds the second one up, ready to throw. He stares at Jennifer, who gazes back at him, her head partially covered by a towel. Mars sinks to his knees, his tormented eyes still locked on hers. The flaming bottle slips from his fingers. It shatters on the floor, its contents ignite, and Mars is completely consumed by fire. The room's fast becoming an inferno, and Jeff glances around it, searching for a way out. He grabs his shotgun and shoots out the glass of a water feature. Gallons of water come flooding down. The fire abates on one side of the room. Carrying Tommy in one arm and Jennifer held close under the other, Jeff makes for a doorway at the far end of a corridor. Behind him, the burning remains of Mars collapse into the firestorm.
Thanks for everything. How bad?
You could be bleeding to death. We wouldn't even know it. You gotta get to a hospital, Jeff. Now.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know how bad you have fucked this up? Your family is dead. They are fucking dead.
Shut up and listen. Fuck. Talk.
It's me. This is Walter Smith.
Now what?
The ambulance pulls to a stop, and Jeff, who's in the driving seat, turns to Walter, who's sitting next to him.
Look out the window.
Walter does so. On a road some distance away, he sees a line of emergency vehicles where both Tommy and Jennifer are being treated by medical personnel. A tear escapes from Walter's eye. He looks down at the photo of Jeff's captive family that he's holding.
Listen to me. I don't even know who these people are or what they do. I cook the books, you know, set up shell companies, offshore accounts, and then I would encrypt it onto a disk, leave it at the drop point. I mean, it was never a face-to-face.
Early morning light is just beginning to appear as Jeff turns off the main road. He drives the ambulance around the rear of a dilapidated building, signposted the Canyon Inn. He parks the ambulance at the inn's main entrance and slowly climbs out. He's clearly in a great deal of pain. He clutches at his belly for a moment then guides Walter through the driver's door. His gun is pointed at the back of Walter's bandaged head and has been taped there, with the tape secured around Walter's neck. The tape's also been wrapped around Jeff's gun hand, binding the two men together. They step towards the entrance of the inn. In the distance, the sky has turned an orange-pink colour. Jeff and Walter reach the doorway and pass through it into the large, run-down room beyond. Jeff takes the room in.
I want to see my family.
There are three men wearing balaclavas at the far end. One points towards another, who opens some swing saloon doors. Jeff starts moving Walter towards them. He notices a fourth masked man who's watching Jeff closely as he sits at the bar in the corner with a gun in his hand. Reaching the saloon doors, Jeff peers over them into the next room, where he sees two people sitting against a wall with bags covering their heads.
Jane, come in. Shh. It's okay, baby. I'm gonna be out of here in just a minute.
Jeff turns to face the man sitting at the bar.
Now, only the famous Jeff Talley could come up with a rig like that. And I see you've taken a bullet. Walter, you're looking fairly banged up as well. How do I know you still have what I need?
Trinidad...
Wait. Go ahead.
Trinidad Mercantile, Dominican Republic. Michelangelo Sister Trust. The account number is Brenda 65007265.
65.
Dutch Antilles
Shut
National.
Up.
Dutch Antilles.
Shut up. Walter, you're good.
Okay. You're going to leave now, right? Just let my family leave. Walk them to the door. I leave with them. Smith stays here. Everybody's happy.
The man looks over at one of his accomplices.
I haven't seen your face. I haven't seen any of your faces!
I leave you alone, you leave me alone. You're negotiating? Is that what this is, Tally? You're gonna wear me down?
I'm just trying to bring us all home.
Cut Walter loose. Send him over next to me and we will disappear into the day.
Let them go. I'll stay here. Just let them go.
You get this one thing. I don't bargain. I give. You take. That's it. Cut them loose.
Jeff glances at the saloon doors, then bites at the tape around Walter's neck, freeing him.
Good. Hands up. In the air.
Oh, you're a fucking dead man. You're a fucking dead man. Thank you very fucking much. He hasn't seen your face. He's seen my face! What are you waiting for? Kill him!
I haven't seen his face.
Come on!
My family hasn't seen Walter Smith's face. Just let him go.
Come on, what are you waiting for?
Just let him leave. Just let him go now.
God damn it, kill him!
Walter's produced a gun and shot the masked man. Jeff shoots two of his accomplices. Then a firefight ensues between him and the last of the gunmen. They trade bullets until Jeff finally nails the man. Blood spurts from his chest, and he falls to the floor like a rag doll in slow motion. Walter watches as Jeff walks over to the fallen man, and with tears in his eyes, empties the remaining bullets from his gun into the man. Standing over the carnage in the room, Jeff looks overwhelmed, spent from anguish and rage. He rips the gun from his hand and rushes through to free Jane and Amanda. Walter watches the family reunion. They hold each other tightly. Jeff throws his head back, sobbing as he's overcome with joy and relief. He kisses Jane, then Amanda. Soon, Jeff's walking back across the room with his arms around his wife and daughter. He looks over at Walter, who smiles weakly, his eyes full of tears. The broken window in the doorway of the inn is full of yellow light as the sun rises above the hills beyond. There are long shadows on the ground as Jeff walks with his family to the ambulance. He opens a side door and helps them inside. He gets in after them, and soon the ambulance is driving away. Sun shines reflected from its rear doors as it pulls out into the main road and drives off into the distance.